When we last looked at this chapter, it was a few weeks ago, I think it was 4 weeks ago, we considered the blessings that come from honoring the Lord with what we have. That is our wealth, but it's also our lives. In a sense, the two goes together. I think one of the reasons why the church is so powerless, so weak today is because so many don't offer the Lord everything. Instead, they will say, "Well, I'll hold this bit back. I'm not going to be a Christian at school. I'm not going to be a Christian at the office. I'm not going to be a Christian when it comes to my spare time. I'll do what I want." You see how subtle we can put our Christian lives in compartments,
That's
and
right.
we can come to church on the Lord's Day, and we can do all the right things on Sunday, but when it comes to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we tend to only give God part of what he is owed. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which you might remember, "Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee." So if we say, "I'm going to seek the Lord Jesus first," then all the things we need will be given to us. And that includes our hearts, all our desires. You might have lots of things you want to do. You want lots of things you want in life. And we all want things in life, don't we? Things that are close to our hearts. And we kind of, but they've become the most important things to us sometimes. But what the Lord is saying is he must be the most important person in all our lives. He is the Father of lights. He is our Heavenly Father. We were hearing that this morning. And we were facing the challenge. Do we want a father who's going to judge us, a God who's going to judge us, or a father who's loving us and going to take us to heaven? A father that's with us all the day, because all our lives, rather, because our own fathers at some stage will forsake us if we live a longish life. And the Bible says, when thy father and mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up. The Lord will be our father. That's the father we need, isn't it? And we looked at that verse as well this morning at the end of Psalm 48. Psalm 48, verse 14, says that, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." People feel very afraid of death so many times. They're very lonely. It's the most lonely time in our lives because you can have all your family around you. When you're dying, you're still on your own because they're not dying and you are. To have the Lord with you, to take you through that river, well, that's the most precious thing that life affords, isn't it? Most wonderful thing. Well, we must make sure that we give God everything. And we have to conceive that the last thing that so often is converted Christians is their wallets. We are to make sure that we give God our hearts and our lives, and he should have our first fruits. We should be giving to him first before we consider our own needs. And the Bible leaves it up to every one of us how much that is. We each have to come to that before the Lord. Well, from the source of God's blessings, we move on to these the negative things that arrive. That describes really we describe really as negative providences. That's things that happen to us which make us unhappy, things that we can't necessarily control that come upon us. I mean, in its simplest form, it could be a rainy day or a cold, sleety day, and we wake up and go, "Oh, if only summer would come. I don't want to have to go out in this cold, nasty weather." Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like turning over and going back to sleep when you're supposed to get up and get ready for school. Or perhaps it's some test you've got. Well, I haven't prepared for this. I don't want to have to get up for it. Or a teacher who don't really like is not perhaps going to be very nice to you. Or someone at school who isn't very nice to you. All these sort of things happen to all of us. There are negative things that happen that we can't really control. And it can make us feel depressed. What we don't do is look at it from God's perspective. Look at the things that go wrong for us and think, actually, God is God and he's in control of the whole world. He's even in control of the sparrows. And a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without the our Heavenly Father. And the Bible says, I am of more value than sparrows. Do you know that? I mean, we can't even buy sparrows. Have you ever seen a sparrow on sale in the market or in Waitrose or Tesco's or wherever you go shopping? You don't see sparrows, do you? Why is that? Because no one wants to buy sparrows. They're worthless. In the Bible, they were sold for a farthing. They're not even sold for a farthing today. However, that's not worth very much money, but you go and try and buy a sparrow, and I think you'll struggle. A bit like trying to buy a fly or a wasp. No one wants to sell them, do they? Because no one will sell them because no one wants to buy them. That's the point, isn't it? Bees have got some value because they make honey. But wasps, sparrows, no. But God says, you are of more value than sparrows. And if he looks after the sparrow, he looks after you and me. And he's sovereign. If he's sovereign over the sparrow, if he decides when a sparrow dies, falls to the ground, then he is in control of your life and my life. Do we believe that? And so when things happen that we don't like, what is our reaction? This is what the Bible says. This is the verse we're looking at. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Don't get angry when God is cross with you. That's what it's saying. And don't get weary. When you are finding life difficult, don't give up. There's a sign, isn't there? There's a sign that's, I can't remember what the words are there. Something carry on.
Carry on with goodness.
No, well, thank you. Is that something like that? Yes. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It'll come back to me. The point is, we're to carry on and we don't give up. Whom the Lord, and it's what the verse says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. So if you're finding life difficult and you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, then you must understand that this is God correcting you for something that isn't quite right. And the truth is, we can't always see the things that are wrong in our lives, can we? We kind of, perhaps we have a rosy-eyed view of ourselves. We think that we're perfect and everybody else is wrong. Have you ever thought that? Whereas God has to show us that we're sometimes the ones in the wrong and other people are actually right. And so that is why he has to correct us. And you know, this is what the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Do you ever think that God delights in you? You might think, no, I'm not good enough for God to delight in. Well, that's what the Bible tells us, that he delights in his children. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus, you know, you can't be too young to believe on the Lord Jesus. Suffer the little children to come unto me. So you can't think, well, I'm too young. That's all for grown-ups. No, it's for you and it's for the grown-ups. We all need to understand this. So, and we find that these verses are also repeated in the New Testament. And we made it clear that it is because God corrects us because he's treating us as sons. And we need to recognize God's hand whenever things happen. Providences happen. I hope that's not too big a word. Providences mean circumstances outside our control. Things that happen. So I heard of somebody in the who's at Cambridge, and she was studying history, and she lived in a tower, a very old tower. And you know, she went to the bathroom, and the bathroom didn't have any windows, and she closed the door. Do you know, she couldn't open it again because the plumber had come in and done something to the lock. So she was locked in this bathroom at the top of a tower, and it was on a Thursday, I think, and no one was going to come and clean that bathroom until the Monday. And so she faced being stuck in a bathroom until Monday, locked in this tower. She wondered if she was still going to live. As it happens, she had a cotton wool stick and she had her eyeliner. Somehow she managed to prise the lock open and she got away. But can you imagine what that must have felt like for her? That was something that she couldn't control. That's what we mean by God's providence. God's providence in that situation was that she would find herself in a locked bathroom. You've probably found yourself in situations that you haven't planned and are outside your control. And that's what we mean by God's providences. And we must learn that when these things happen to us, instead of panicking or getting cross, happens, doesn't it? Have you ever got cross when things don't work out as you want to? You're standing perhaps at a crossing, you want to cross the road, cars keep crossing, coming, and you can't get past. Other things that happen stop you doing what you want to do. So easy just to get cross. Rather, what the Bible's teaching us to do is to submit to the situation. When things are outside your control, instead of getting worked up and upset and cross, we're to be humble and to submit cheerfully. Say, well, this is what the Lord has said. There'll be a way out of it. There'll be an answer. Do you have anything like that about situations that you can't control when it's going to upset your plans? Or do you get cross? And do you get stressed? So many people get stressed out, don't they? Well, what Charles Bridges said, he wrote this commentary on these verses. In prosperity, it is well to expect the rod. So when things are going well, don't just think, well, things will always go well. Ha ha. Always expect God to chasten you, God to discipline you. Because trouble is, when things are in prosperity, when things are going well for us, that usually means that we think we're rather good. We get a bit too full of ourselves and we need to be brought down a peg. Have you heard that expression, to be brought down a peg? Brought down to earth is to remember who we really are, not who we think we are. Well, that's what happens. That's what's intended when the Lord disciplines us. Let it not make us doubt God's gracious providence. Let's not make us doubt God's goodness when this happens. And don't let us use some unlawful means to take it away from us. For example, I suppose, just to bring it down to children's level, suppose you wanted to buy a sweet for yourself, but you'd lost the £1 coin that mummy had given you to buy the sweet. So you can't buy a sweet. And you've looked all around your room for it, and then you see mummy's purse. And you think, she won't notice I take a pound out of her purse. And then you take the pound out of her purse and you go and buy your chocolate. Now, is that right or wrong? It's wrong, isn't it? It's not the right thing to do. But you see what it is? You see, providence has caused you to lose that your pound. So you can't go and buy that chocolate. And then you think, I really want that chocolate. Even though what you should do is say, well, the Lord is not letting me have that chocolate now. And just say, well, one day perhaps I'll find the pound coin, or perhaps mummy will give me another pound and I'll go and buy it. Instead, you think, no, I want that chocolate and I'm having it now. So you cast out off God's discipline and you go and steal the pound coin and you go and buy your chocolate. So you throw off the Lord's discipline, you do things the wrong way. Do you see? And that is taking an unlawful course because we're impatient. Have you ever thought of that? And we're not to do that, are we? And it isn't just that, is it? It can be for us grown-ups, when we're behind the wheel and we're late, and we decide, well, the light's turning orange, it's just going to go red, but there's no police around. I'll just put my foot down and go through a red light. If you've been tempted to do that, if you're on a bicycle, it's even worse. Because even if you do get through a red light, the police probably won't stop you, but it's still the wrong thing to do. Have any of us done that? Got there on time, but with a guilty conscience? Because you know you've not kept every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake? Well, I have to say mea culpa. Say, I've done it from time to time, and I regret it. I repent of it. I try and do better tomorrow. But you know, we've got to make sure that we see everything that happens as God being behind it. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we say, well, it doesn't matter what I do now, whatever happens, happens. It's not that kind of thing. It's only the things that we really can't control, because we are to do our best to do things properly, aren't we? Make sure we don't lose the pound coin. Make sure we're not late so that we are tempted to speed. Those are things that God is teaching us in those circumstances. Plan ahead. Do you plan ahead? I remember that was one of the things that really came home to me when I joined the army. It's so easy just to live moment to moment, but not to make sure I'm thinking, am I ready for what I've got to do in 2 hours, 3 hours' time? When things go wrong, we don't make those plans. Well, things do go wrong, and we must learn what God is teaching us through these circumstances. So, going back then to the passage, well, we saw, didn't we, that this morning, that access to God as our Father, to know Him as our Father, is only open to true believers. And there's a choice. You either choose God as your Father, or you have Him as your judge. It's one or the other. He's not the Father of the whole world in that sense. He doesn't treat everybody as His son or daughter. It's only God's elect, only those chosen by Him, only those who believe in Him can have Him as their Father. And there is a school of thought, unfortunately, that sees all negative things coming from the devil. And they don't see this verse that we're looking at, saying, well, everything ultimately comes from God. They think, oh, well, the devil's in this, and therefore I've got to resist the devil. Well, we do have to resist the devil, but we must understand that even the devil is only allowed to do the things that he can do, he does. Because God ultimately is even in control of the devil. Did you know that? Because you might sometimes be a bit scared. You think, well, there's a devil out there. If the devil's there, then how do I know I'm safe? Well, we know we're safe because we belong to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus is more powerful than the devil. And you know, and we know that, don't we? Because when he was tempted by the devil, when he started his ministry, who won? The Lord Jesus, when all the devil, and the Lord Jesus, he got the better of the devil because he stood on the word of God. And the Lord Jesus can't sin. And he defeated the devil at the cross. So we know that the devil can't do anything other, any more than what God permits him to do. So we don't have to worry that because the devil is still around and still does his evil work, we don't have to think, well, I must be scared of the devil, and that the devil somehow has a control over my life. He doesn't, because God is in control. If you belong, he's in control of everybody. He's in control of the devil, but he has a particular concern for his children. And we have to remember that even though we are Christians, we still are children of Adam. Adam's our first father. We've got an adopted father, haven't we? But our first natural father was Adam. And we still have Adam's will, Adam's pride, Adam's independence, and his tendency to go wrong. So we must never despise the correction of the Lord and become hardened to it, because actually we want to go our way and not his. It's a reminder of how easy it is to, we guard against one error on the one hand, and if we're not careful, then we end up going off too far on the other. So we can think that I've got to put up. This is the Lord's chastisement. It's come to me now. I mustn't give up, but I'm just going to, because I'm going to harden myself to it. I'm just going to press on. I'm just going to ignore it, and I'm going to have a stiff upper lip, and I'm going to have a stiff upper lip. And that's what we have in this country, isn't it? And we just carry on. We carry on regardless. That's right. That's what I was thinking of. Keep calm and carry on. I think that's what you might have been trying to say. Keep calm. We just carry on regardless. And we end up then going the other way, because we don't give up on the Lord's. We don't sort of collapse under the Lord's discipline, but we just sort of harden to it. We just reckon, well, it's going to get better afterwards. We don't learn the lessons that the Lord has for us in that time of discipline. And that's, it's a narrow path, the Christian life. You can go wrong on either side. You can give up when the Lord's bad things happen to you and just collapse in a heap. Or you can be really strong and charge through and get to the other side and not think of the lessons that God was trying to teach you. And that's not good, is it? It's like being beaten. Now, I'm sure it's smacked, I should say. I don't know if you've ever been smacked for being naughty. Still lawful in this country. And you don't think, you just think, well, the smacking isn't going to go on for long. I'll be all right. And you don't think, actually, I mustn't do that again to avoid being smacked. You just think, it's not that painful. I'll put up with it. That's the difference. That would be a wrong way. You can either cry lots of tears and sort of collapse when you're smacked, or you can ignore the smacking or ignore the pain, be determined to press through it. But both of those extremes are wrong, because if you are smacked and you collapse in a heap, well, that's not very brave, is it? And if you do decide there you're just going to ignore it, you're going to grit your teeth, you're not going to learn so that you repeat the thing again next time. Well, that's not very good, is it? So there's a narrow path in life. We can go off on either side. And the Christian path is a narrow path. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So there's a narrow way that we have to take as a Christian. And it's a narrow way in respect to God teaching us and disciplining us. So let us try and avoid that approach. We know that this generation is known as the snowflake generation. That's 2010s. I hope they're not going to continue like that. But the snowflake generation are regarded as rather sort of less resilient, a bit weaker than the previous generations. And so they tend to be more like the ones that collapse. The previous generations just plowed on through. Well, let us be sensitive always to the Lord. Learn from him. See the positives in negative things that happen to us. And as believers, we must take discipline seriously because the Lord intends it to be felt. So it's rather like going back to if you've ever been smacked. Some people, when they were smacked, used to put a magazine down their trousers or down their skirt so that they don't feel the pain. And that's not very good, is it? Because if you do that, it's fine. You won't have a painful smacking, but you won't, if you don't have a painful smacking, you probably won't learn your lesson. But God intends his discipline to be taken seriously. There would be no point otherwise to being disciplined. And it's a problem today in schools because people aren't properly disciplined. So classes tend to be more unruly because children, they don't get punished for doing things wrong. In Psalm 39, verses 10 and 11, we read, "Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth." And you see, that is the right attitude, is that you feel the pain of God's discipline. And we need to be willing to feel the pain and not go to the other extreme of just being hard-hearted and stubborn, which I've already mentioned. Find out in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3. "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They refused to return." That's the other side of correction, which we have to avoid. And to pretend that you don't feel any pain or you don't care is to be like Paul before he was converted. And this is what the Lord said to him at his conversion. And well, Saul said to him, this is on the road to Damascus, do you remember? "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Sadly, unfortunately, pride has a tendency to raise its head. We become stiff and unbending, and only tough measures, only providences that bring us down to earth again will work. Well, unfortunately, this is not just what ungodly people do, but the child of God can do it too. Job wrote in Job chapter 5, verse 17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Let us not despise his correction. Well, there's a lot more I could say, and I'm afraid I'm not further than I got. I've got quite a long way to go, and I'm not going to go further today. We'll bring things to an end as it's 7:30, and perhaps I'll return to it again next time. So may the Lord help us to have soft hearts when things go wrong, to remember everything that happens in this world is sent by God, good and bad. When bad things happen, let us turn to him and pray to him and ask him to teach us lessons about ourselves through things that go wrong for us. And when there are sin, we're being punished for our sin, let's repent and ask the Lord to give us grace to help us to be better. And remember that God treats all his children as sons, only children, only his children. Are you his child? And is he your father? Or are you not his child? And is he your judge? See, as a father, he is planning to take you to heaven. And he's changing you to make you more like his son, the Lord Jesus, so that you're ready to go to heaven. But if not, then he's your judge and he's preparing you for that terrible punishment that is to come. The end of the world, which is hell. None of us, no sane person would take that course, but each of us has that opportunity to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. We're commanded to repent and believe. Let us do that. Then whatever happens, we come under the umbrella of his love and his goodness towards us. And we remember that everything that happens is for our good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, all things, not just some things, all things work together for good. For them that love him, for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen.
Amen.